This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, do we have a show for you here tonight, fresh on the heels of the Blitz. How about this for a lineup? Chris Wondolowski, fresh off breaking the MLS all-time leading goals scored record held by Landon Donovan. The humble Wando will be on the show tonight. Scored four against the Chicago Fire. Chris Wondolowski joins us tonight. Jeff Cameron. Well, the last you heard of Jeff Cameron, he was playing with Queen's Park Rangers in the championship on loan from Stoke. What is Jeff Cameron's future? How did he bounce back from a ligament injury? And does he want to play in Major League Soccer one day? You're going to find out tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Also, in studio tonight, the very talented goalkeeper for the Houston Dash, off to a solid start this year under a new manager, James Clarkson. Jane Campbell will be in studio, and if you've watched her play in goal for the Houston Dash, you know the Dash have a wonderful goalkeeper. Jane played her soccer at Stanford as well, but has also represented the U.S. Women's National Team. We will talk with her in studio here tonight. Plus, in our football and food segment, last week we were wowed by Patagonia's Sebastian and Alex. Well, tonight, their good friend Danny Gonzalez, who we all know from the soccer circles here in Houston, with the restaurant Tortoni. He's got an Italian restaurant tonight. We talk football and food with Danny Gonzalez, and he is, I just joked with him on the phone. I said, wow, you're a huge Estudiantes fan. I mean, you're a huge San Lorenzo fan. You're a huge Boca fan. Of course, he's a huge River Plate fan. So he will be here shortly as well. We will have him live in studio. A couple of big things in the news here. Of course, we mentioned Chris Wondolowski breaking the record. DeMarcus Beasley has announced his retirement from the game effective at the end of the season. There will be a press conference with DeMarcus Beasley tomorrow. No word on Albert DeLeese and his situation from a health perspective after being escorted out of the stadium. Took an unbelievably scary shot to the back of the head from Steve Birnbaum. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. There was no way, in my opinion, that he should have been allowed to go back on the field. But he obviously passed the protocol. I believe there should be a monitor behind the bench, because if anybody saw, including a doctor, what we saw on the replay, you would never have risked the man's health. We'll talk about that tonight, but we'll also talk about the amazing comeback victory from the Houston Dynamo in that one. More points for the Dynamo at home. They do it in a wonderful way. Today we'll start with Bayern Munich, 5-1 over Frankfurt. At the end of the game, it was all about, dumping giant boots of beer on each other. It is the end of the Frank Ribery, Arjen Robben sort of era at Bayern. And by the way, Frank Ribery and Arjen Robben both score, ironically, in this game. Here's how Bayern got off to the start. Their first goal would come from Kingsley Coman.
Here come Bayern. Ball out wide. Kingsley Coman in the clear! What a start for Bayern! Lovely through ball, and Kingsley Coman does the rest.
That was goal number one. Let's go to goal number four. This would make it 4-1. Frank Ribery, and this was likely the last goal he'll score for Bayern Munich.
Ribery up against the Costa.
Still Ribéry managed to make his way through. Well, that is the icing on the cake for today at the Allianz Arena. Frank Ribéry with a stunning goal, and the emotions getting the better of the Bayern legend as well. What a moment.
Well, how about more icing? Arjen Robben would get goal number 5 for Bayern Munich.
Lewandowski, a little chip in behind. Alaba, the ball squared across. Aye, Robin! Celebrations to match those of Frank Ribéry. Both legends score. Bayern have 5, and they have yet another Bundesliga title.
Manchester City 6-0 winners in the FA Cup over Watford. Goal number 1 would come from David Silva.
Here's Sterling. Silva jumping.
They would go on to win 6-0. Now, there was a lot of articles about how maybe this is unhealthy, how dominant City was. I'm not sure how you think about it. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Here's Pep Guardiola talking about one of the best seasons of his career as a manager.
Well, it's one of the best seasons I have experienced as a manager. It's, yeah, I would not say the best, but one of the best for sure. So, to be 10 mounts, playing all competitions, and the fact that never no teams, when incredible teams have done in this country. And be the first means that if one team is able to do that, another team is going to repeat sooner or later, but we were the first. And the consistent, it means a consistent every 3 days during 10 mounts. I love the Champions League, but do that is more difficult than win the Champions League.
So that was Pep Guardiola, Manchester City. He just said that winning those three titles more difficult than the Champions League. Some are going to say it's not a great season because City didn't win the Champions League. Those are probably people that are pretty anti-City. What do you think? By not winning the Champions League? 713-780-3776, as always, our producer, Andrew Carlson. Andrew, what's biggest on your soccer mind right now?
To me, Glenn, there's one way that you can take this, and that's the controversy that's going on with the UEFA Europa League at the moment, this moment in time. Their finals being held in Baku, which is in Azerbaijan, and that means that an Armenian player, Henrik Mkhitaryan for Arsenal, is not going to be able to even travel to the game because of the conflict going on between those two countries. And the fact that UEFA would hold a game in a country where that sort of conflict is going on is just, to me, it's everything that's wrong with the game in a nutshell right now, where it's all about lining pockets, and it's not about the fans, it's not about the sport itself, it's all about where the money is going.
Yeah, it is a bit of a strange place to have a final. Arsenal confirmed that Mkhitaryan is not going to travel to Baku, Azerbaijan. Of course, then you get people in Azerbaijan saying it's safe to play in the Europa League final. That's Azerbaijan's ambassador. He's Armenian, and there's an Armenian faction there, the anti-Armenian faction. So there is real problems there, and he doesn't want to risk the safety of his family. I don't know. I'm just so sick of politics and everything getting into football, and it's so involved with it now. And, you know, the other thing you got to think about here, here's a guy who gets to Europa League final. You don't get to finals very often. Arsenal says, we're very disappointed to announce that Henry Mkhitaryan will not be traveling with the squad for our UEL final against Chelsea. Kind of game that doesn't come along very often for players. I must admit, it hurts me a lot to miss it. I will be cheering my teammates on. Let's bring it home, Arsenal. That's from Mkhitaryan himself. And having considered all the current options, we had to take the tough decision for me not to travel with the squad. Sad. Again, why it's in Azerbaijan, I have no idea. Now, let's go to the Houston Dynamo. Houston Dynamo with a 2-1 comeback victory, 35 seconds into the game. Steve Birnbaum. Now, look, he was remorseful, and I don't believe he intended to try and injure and knock out of the game Albert Elise. What I will tell you is he was trying to send a message early, okay? That's fact. That happens by center backs early in games. The referees don't tend to show cards still in this day and age, early in matches for challenges like that. If you look at this on video, Birnbaum is so late. Albert Elise is already ahead of the ball. Birnbaum's head is still about 2 feet away from Elise's, and then it crashes into the back of his skull. Both hit the ground, and you got to remember, Albert Elise is jumping straight up in the air. Steve Birnbaum's had a 5-6 yard run at it. So he's the one inflicting the power, as though somebody were getting punched in the head. He's the puncher. Elise is taking the brunt of the physical nature of it. So Albert passes a fitness test. Albert continues to play, and I think a couple minutes later is sitting in the middle of the circle. You can see him waving. He needs to come out. He's obviously unstable, but he passed the protocol. I guess I'm simply saying, and I'm not bagging on anybody, I just don't understand how we don't have this man's better interest at heart, and I don't know how he passes a protocol. But he did, so he passed the protocol with the doctor. But I'm saying, if the doctor had an opportunity to see on video the vicious nature of this hit, and the trauma and the wow factor to it, the scary wow factor to it, he might use that as a part of his decision-making process. And we still have not heard anything about Albert Elise. So I don't know why nothing's come out. Nothing has come out as to if he is, I would assume he must have taken a concussion or a mild concussion minimum, but don't know. So that one's kind of out there, and we're kind of concerned because he is the Dynamo star player. Now, what happens after this is pretty remarkable. Second half, Wayne Rooney scores, and I think we have that goal call. Here's what it sounds like. So Kiki Struna gives the ball away here. Now, again, everybody's bagging on A.J. De La Garza, but if you remember, when Struna plays this ball, De La Garza is very high up the field getting into the attack. He may have continued his run with a little bit more strength to that back post, assuming the cross might get through. But the cross gets through Adam Lundqvist. Struna can't seal it off. Joe Willis can't get out. So it squeezes between all three of them. Wayne Rooney will tap it in. And this is in the first minute of the second half. And here's what it sounded like.
Here's Acosta. He's got a lot of room. Be careful here. Segura will square it across. Goal. Wayne Rooney has scored. DC United comes out, sticks a dagger in the Dynamo here. The legendary Wayne Rooney getting to the far post. And this is trouble here because DC United has gotten the game's first goal.
But then the magic would happen. 67th minute, and there's a couple thousand more on hand here. I think Wayne Rooney drew some. We saw a lot of Manchester United jerseys. Any thoughts on this game? I'd love to get them from you. 713-780-3776. But then Memo Rodriguez, who has just had this wonderful season, has stretched himself as a player. By the way, did an interview with him today. It'll be on the podcast of the Houston Dynamo on the website, HoustonDynamo.com. But this young man is real. He stretched his game from last year. It is fantastic to watch. 67th minute. He's cutting across the top of the box. He's actually making space for himself, going away from goal when he ultimately hits this through a maze of players into the lower corner. This is the game-changing moment, and this is a game-changing moment now coming from one of the youngest players on the Houston Dynamo, Memo Rodriguez.
Memo. Still Memo. Can I get a shot? Oh, yes! Spectacular goal! Cuts across the top of the box. And Memo Rodriguez, with his fifth goal of the year, has pulled the Dynamo back here. It is 1-1.
So the crowd all of a sudden just reignited. I mean, Memo was the detonator here. The crowd was engaged. I mean, they were booing Rooney. This was great stuff down there. You missed out if you weren't down at this game. And then 1 minute later, Tommy McNamara comes on, and then we're going to get to some phone calls here, 713-780-3776. Tommy McNamara comes on. And it's been a little bit of a struggle for him to get fit into this team. And Tommy McNamara takes off on about a 35-yard run, 40-yard run, screaming into that back post, and he will produce the game winner.
Lundqvist. McNamara hitting the far post. It's going to come through to McNamara. He It's 2-1 Houston. He hits the back post, nestles it into the goal. The Dynamo go up 2-1.
Here's Wilma Cabrera quickly on how the team adapted to the Albert Elise injury, because it did put a little bit of a dark cloud. It was a weird start to the game.
We didn't create too many chances in the first half. I think it was a little bit tough, the situation, because I think it could be the first game that we play without Albert. So sometimes, it's difficult. We don't know how to play. And I think... Meanwhile, we were adapting. Also, Romel was coming back from a big absence, like two months. So we were trying to settle. The second half started off with we lost the ball in the middle, trying to penetrate, and then they scored in the first minute of the second half. So that was like, okay, we needed to start from zero, but... it was a very good response by the players. I mean, I'm really proud of them.
Yeah, it was an awesome response. That is a great comeback win. That's one you can point to now when you go on the road. By the way, the Dynamo now, that's a lot of home games. With one more home game, they'll have played more home games than they will. They'll have less home games. They'll have played, I think, 9. So the Dynamo... have stockpiled their home games. There's a lot of road ahead. Let's go to the phone lines and Clyde. Clyde, what do you have?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
I'm very good, Clyde. How are you?
I'm doing good. So I wanted to chime in a little bit when you were talking about Albert Elise and the head injury in
yes.
the game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a certified athletic trainer, and a lot of times athletic trainers are the first people to look at concussions.
Okay.
And I'll admit, it looked bad. But if the doctor had that had access to the film, it may or may not have helped. I've seen a lot of times, I've seen concussions in person where you see someone just take a hard hit and it's nothing. And you see a hit that you think is nothing, and then later on the athlete's complaining about head injury symptoms. And the other thing I wanted to mention is you're kind of trying to figure out how we pass the protocol.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have a very good protocol in place. The tricky thing with concussions is a lot of times you go through some protocol, and it's not uncommon at all for 15, 20, 30 minutes later, a day later, symptoms to start showing up.
Absolutely. I know that from personal experience. So what I would say is this. Do you think if they saw the same replay we saw, that it might have made the doctor say... Or whoever's making the decision on behalf of Albert, and that's the doctor, I would assume, or the trainer, or both, let's not risk it.
I think it would definitely help. I know.
Yeah, because this was head-to-head, and this was a guy who had a run at him, okay? And I understand this because I was a center back and was on the end of these and was also on the aggressive side of these. It looked very scary to me. And ultimately,
yeah.
He was waving to come off the field and had to sit down. Why would we not err on the side of caution?
Oh, I'm perfectly with you. And the weird thing about it is you see doctors err on the side of caution in high school sports, in college sports. But unfortunately, with the pros, there's a little bit less of it, which is sad.
Yeah, and I'm not saying this is what happened here, but coaches are going to pressure people to stay on the field. That's the modern game. There's livelihoods at stake, and I think we have to be very careful with this. And for no reason at all here am I saying that's what happened, but we do know of cases where that has happened. And look, I'm not a doctor. I don't want to pretend to be one. But what I saw on that replay from my position, I believe could have benefited whoever's making the decision on behalf of the athlete. That's all I got. Thank you very much for that, Clyde. We appreciate that. That's great commentary. Thank you. And before we go to break here, just a reminder, our presenting sponsor is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We thank John and the Daspit Law Firm for being our presenting sponsor. They're also the presenting sponsor of our Sunday show in Austin as well, which is on thehornfm.com. Another thank you to Kings Court. Place to be in Edo, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors, rooftop deck. Get down there. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com. www.dasbitlawfirm.com. Say hello to Jay. Great British and Indian food. We'll take more calls at 713-780-3776. Let's take an Advantage BMW break.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Chase Salinas cutting inside, looking for one goal!
By the way, before we get to Pep Guardiola here real fast, we do have the best music in Houston when it comes to radio. This is the legendary Dick Dale who recently passed, the king of the surf guitar. All right, here's one more quote from Pep Guardiola. Then we got a special guest here from Tortoni Restaurant.
I know we'll be judged at the end. We don't win the Champions League. Will not be enough. I know that this camp with me. So I arrived in Barcelona. We're lucky in 4 years, win two times, and the people expect I am something special that we have to win the Champions League. So, in the real truth, still I'm in this club. I'm not the points in the domestic competitions is incredible, but in the Champions League we don't win quite often than the other ones, especially because the competition is so demanding and the teams are so good.
Three trophies for Manchester City. By the way, so I think Soccer Matters now has definitely raised the bar when it comes to food in studio. Last week it was Patagonia. This week, if you go out in our green room area right now, and Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash is out there, there is more Italian food that you would ever ask for. And the owner of Tortoni Restaurant is obviously a big football guy as well. We've known him for a long time. Danny Gonzalez joins me now. Danny, welcome to the show.
All right. Glenn Davis, how are you?
All right. So first of all, I mean, I didn't have a chance to see exactly what is out there and how many different dishes you brought, but I mean, this is not a guy who just dropped two pizzas on us, okay? There is everything out there. So take us through what's out there.
Well, I just, you know, I really wanted to bring pretty much everything. You know, my chef, which is from Naples, Italy, and he's very, you know, he's a very peculiar guy. He said, no, we're not going to take food that doesn't travel well, you know. It's only going to take me 10 minutes. And no, but my food's supposed to be eaten fresh at the moment, so he packed me up.
Also, he was a little. He wanted you to be careful.
Yes. Yeah. I have a chicken piccata, marsalas, you know, salmon, steaks.
Unbelievable.
But he said, no. Let's take something that can travel well. You know, so I brought some lasagna, everything homemade from scratch.
Look gorgeous.
Napolitan style. Then I brought a cannelloni, which is made with crepes, ricotta, and spinach with pink sauce. Pink sauce is half marinara, half Alfredo sauce. And then I brought some pizzas, and then I brought one of our top sellers, which is a penne salmone, which is a penne with a chunk of salmon in a pink sauce, and a fettuccine fungo tartufo, which is a fettuccine, fresh pasta, homely made, with sausage, mushrooms, and tartufo oil.
I mean, it looks amazing. I had a slice of pizza really because good, yes. That was easy for me to eat quickly before I got on here, but I'm definitely going to taste the other. It looks amazing. Your restaurant is excellent. I've been inside a very beautiful place as well.
Thank you.
Along I-10, it's at 8412 Katy Freeway. So get in there. You can talk soccer with Danny Gonzalez because he's a huge River Plate fan. You know, we had your great friend Sebastian Abraham in here and Alex, and of course, Alex is with you with River Plate, but yes. Sebastian is a big Boca fan.
On the other side,
do you guys get along okay? I mean,
we're pretty close friends until we talk about soccer, you know, of course.
What happens when that game's come on between you two?
Oh, yeah, we split. We just split, you know, which is he goes one way, I go the other. And I keep waving and I say, remember Bernabeu last year, December, you know, 3-1. So he doesn't like it.
But you don't watch a River Boca game together, you two?
No.
It wouldn't.
No. It wouldn't be.
It's that intense.
It wouldn't be nice. No.
It's that intense.
We're very close friends, like brothers.
No, but, I know you guys.
But not during the games.
Yeah.
No. We can watch the national team, any other game, Barcelona, Real Madrid, no problem, you know, but not River Boca. No.
Argentines, food, soccer. I mean, man, it's just such a great combination because you know what? Yeah. When after they were in here, and I know it's going to be the same with you, I had so many people going, man, those guys were so passionate. And people went out to the restaurant, and I want them to go to Tortoni too, to your restaurant, 8412 Katy Freeway. And it's actually, you and Patagonia are near each other. So it's a great little area.
We're next to each other. You know, I used to be Sebastian's partner. You know? I was the owner of Patagonia. And then, you know, I sold my part. There was somebody who wanted to invest, so I sold my part. And I kept Tortoni 100%. And you know, Davis, I mean, we're soccer players. Besides soccer, the other thing that we love is food.
It's true.
I mean, we love food. We know about food. You know, we know when food is good or when it's not good. So, you know, a lot of soccer players, they venture, a lot of sports guys, you know, they venture into the restaurant. So I started doing that about 5 years ago with Sebastian. Now I'm myself with Tortoni. And always, you know, the competitive side of us, it makes us always trying to provide the best.
You put passion into your food, though.
I put passion. Oh, yes,
you put it into football, but you put it into your food.
If you eat at the restaurant, you will notice the difference between Tortoni and most of the Italian-American restaurants that they are in town. You know, this is a passion. You know, like my chef say, you si cucina con il cuore. You cook with your heart, not with your hands. You cook with your heart. And when you see him cooking, he's cooking with the heart. And that's the difference, you know,
the taste. The name of your chef?
Ray Rosmini.
Beautiful.
Everybody knows him as Mr. Ray because he was the European champion of making pizza in 2006.
Well, that pizza I just had was awesome.
Yeah. Big Napoli fan. Big Maradona. Don't say anything bad about Maradona with this guy.
How do you get along with him?
Well,
like Maradona, but you don't like him because he was, you know, Boca.
He was Boca, yeah. But, you know, he was the only one who pulled a tear for me, you know, in 1986. The World Cup he played in 1986 at Mexico.
Why doesn't anybody have a tear when you won in 78 with Mario Kempes? No, everybody goes past that. I don't get it. Yeah. Nobody talks about Manote. Nobody talks about Mario Kempes, Passarella. Yeah, they all go straight to Maradona in 86. Yes. I think there's something wrong with that.
And you know something, David?
Wrong with that.
I played with five guys from that national team. Oviedo, Ardiles, Kempes. Ardiles was, we played together since
Tarantini.
We were 12. Tarantini was from Buenos Aires. But Oviedo, Ardiles, Valencia, and Kempes, they were all from my city. So with Ardiles, I grew up with him.
Unbelievable.
And the other was, I played against them, and we played together. So, like you said, what happens is, there was a coup, you know, back there in Argentina. Argentina was controlled.
No,
there was a crazy time in 78.
There was a crazy
time. So it wasn't a happy time. So this, you know, came as a big prize for the people, for the Argentinian people to win. But, I mean, yes, we cry. But, you know, like you said, we still don't remember like Maradona in 86. One of the reasons is, you know, that Maradona, we also were in crisis, you know, in 86 because of the 1982 war against England. So the game
Falklands
against,
you would say Malvinas.
Malvinas, exactly. So that game, Argentina and England, was such an important game for the Argentinian people. And what Maradona did, you know, scored the first goal with the hands and then the second goal was the most beautiful goal ever scored in a World Cup because he dribbles nine guys.
Terry Butcher, he beat twice. Butcher got beat once, and he ran back and he beat him again.
I know.
I got to plug your restaurant again. Tortoni, 8412 Katy Freeway. It's Tortoni. Get out there. Say hello to Danny Gonzalez. If you love football, you can talk football with him. He's the man there. But this is great Italian food. We have it out here. It is amazing. He's got a whole bunch of different dishes here tonight, and it's great stuff. What'd you think about the Copa America, Argentina? And there's no Icardi?
Well, no Icardi. That's a big miss. Big miss. Well,
even though his form wasn't very good?
He
was struggling.
Good.
But he was struggling as of late.
Well, yes, as of late, yes, because he had an argument, you know, he got a problem with the coach of Inter. But you know, the rumor in Argentina is if you're not friend with Messi, you don't play.
Do you believe that?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah, I believe
after the last World Cup.
Yeah, yeah. Maradona did the same thing. Always the biggest stars, you know, they choose the players they want to play with. And
That's sad. And
Icardi, I mean,
is that the way?
Icardi is the best center forward that Argentina has. Everybody else, they come from the back. They are, you know, a false nine, what do they call him, you know, who plays behind the nine. But really, center forward is Icardi, the only one, like Batistuta used to be. But they're not calling him because he's not within the group of Messi. That's clear. And
Dybala is. And by the way, Dybala's season was a little bit different with Juventus once Cristiano Ronaldo got there. I mean, he was less evident.
He was less evident. Yeah, you're right. But he, see, Dybala is not playing much also with the Argentinian. He's a sub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because one day he made a comment that, you know, he couldn't play along with Messi. Because what he meant was we have very similar style. But they took it wrong, so it's pretty much a sub, you know.
Want to remind you again about Tortoni Restaurant, 8412 Katy Freeway. Danny Gonzalez is the owner, huge football guy. This is tremendous Italian food. You got to get in the restaurant. I like the way you decorated it, too. Tell me what was the part of the design.
Well, the design is, you know, pictures of Italy, pretty much, you know, and so I make like big pictures on the wall, like there are five altogether. And then instead of to put more pictures, I put the wine racks. We have a great Italian selection of wines, plus wine from California and Argentina.
Some good Chiantis, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Good Chiantis.
Yes. The best wines from all over the world. You know,
and by the way, the time I came in, your mom's at the front door. Now, you put your mom to work there. What's going on with your mom?
That's right. She's the passarella of the team. She's the first one who tackles you. She's 93.
Incredible.
But she welcomes you, yes.
Yeah, she was right at the front door. She's the same age as my parents.
Yep. She's.
She looked great.
She works there, yes.
Unbelievable.
That's the thing to keep her alive, you know.
Yeah, good for you, Danny.
It's a good tradition, you know, that we always, you know, we like to do things, you know. We don't think about, you know, taking breaks or whatever. We just go for it until the end.
You know what? You got to love Argentine passion. You got to love Tortoni. 8412 Katy Freeway. Please get out there. You can go to tortonipasta@gmail.com for any questions. The website is www.tortonipastapizza.com. It is a great spot on the Katy Freeway, whether you're going out to Katy or you're from Katy or the Memorial area. Get over there. Again, it's 8412 Katy Freeway. It is Tortoni. Danny, thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you, Glenn. One question for you.
Yes.
Who are you going for on the big game, June the 1st?
June the 1st, Liverpool.
Okay.
But the great stories for both teams. Pochettino doing it with less. But I think I would like to see Liverpool win.
Yeah, that is the favorite team, absolutely.
But I love what Pochettino did. We're going to take a break here. We've got a little Guns N' Roses going to rake. Ooh. That's the great Danny Gonzalez, Tortoni, 8412 Katy Freeway. Again, a quick reminder here for my good friends down at Kings Court, 903 Hutchins. Get down there before all the big games, including the Dynamo and Houston Dash. Speaking of the Dash, coming up next, Jane Campbell, Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. We thank you. And Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take an Advantage BMW Midtown break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Here comes Espinosa trying to get brought down, and this could be Chris Wondolowski's hat trick! A legend!
There's no doubt he's a legend. By the way, he's coming up in the second hour, Chris Wondolowski. We also will have Tom Marshall talking about the Mexican national team for the Gold Cup. I didn't bring up the U.S. roster yet, and we certainly need to talk about that. We'll probably have some things up on Facebook Soccer Matters, but they're down to 40 players. But there have been some omissions, including John Brooks, who's out injured, so the U.S. will have to do it a little different in the Gold Cup without him. So Wondolowski, Jeff Cameron, who is now with Stoke, He was on loan to Queens Park Rangers. He's on in the second hour as well. But right now, we're going to talk Houston Dash, and we're going to talk one of the best goalkeepers in all of NWSL. She's Jane Campbell. She joins me now. Jane, welcome in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you got to, you know, you picked a good night to come in here, because when Italian food's here with Danny Gonzalez, you know, it's a bonus, because I'll have a lot of guys saying to me, oh, why wasn't I invited in that night when the food comes? So
yeah, I'll definitely be ready for training this
week. We're going to
a hot one.
Yeah, we're going to stock you up with some good pasta on the way out. All right, let's talk in general just about what has been a good start to the season for the Dash and yourself personally.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. I think Coach James came in and literally with a clean slate. I mean, he knew no one off the bat except from what he saw in film. So I think everyone just literally hit the reset button. Everyone was on ground zero. And I think with that, it kind of brought some added pressure to each player to come perform every day in training. And that's brought such a competitive environment with James and with us players as well. We have a huge rookie class, I think. And they're young, but have a ton of talent and a ton of potential. And I think this group is just new and energized and ready to show our fan base what we can do.
Now, much like the Dynamo, you from the goalkeeping position, when you look out and see what's there, it seems a lot more, to me, more stable, better team shape, a little bit more. Take me into some of that.
Yeah, I think in past years, there's just been maybe just some disconnect between each line, or some lines get tired quickly than others, and it creates some confusion. So this year, James is really harping on all going collectively together with whatever we decide to do in a game. And I think it does show a lot these last few games. And we definitely have a ways to go, but I think it's definitely some stepping stones, and it should be exciting.
Love the result out in Utah. That was a great win after going down 1-0 too.
Great win. I think people were saying in the locker room after the game, in past years, you know, when we go down, the attitude has kind of been like, oh, great, this is going to be a pretty hard hole to dig ourselves out of. But all of us thought in that game, you know, we went down and we were like, we're fine, just relax and let's get one goal back at a time. And we did, and it was a great win.
Talking to Jane Campbell, played her college soccer at Stanford. She's with the Houston Dash. She's their goalkeeper. If you haven't been out to a Dash game, you need to get out there. These are some of the most talented female women's soccer players in the world. You go to HoustonDynamo.com, click on Dash, and get your Dash tickets. A lot of games coming up. It's a great time down there. I personally would like to see more young youth soccer players out there and teams around the city, because it's better than three training sessions. Get out there and watch these incredible athletes up close and personal. It does seem to me that this is a group where everybody seems to be pulling in the same direction right now. I wouldn't say that. I always felt like that about that in the past.
Right. I think that comes from the top down. James has just put an expectation on us, and in training, he says the standard is very high and we don't go below that standard. And if we do, it's not a good day for us. So I think everyone just knows what we can produce on the field and what we need to show. And I think this fan base, after all these years, deserves a winning program and a winning organization. And I think James wants nothing less than that. And I think all of his players know, with him leading the charge, we can do that. And it's just a matter of us going out on the field and executing.
So when I look at you in goal, you have a presence, which is one of the things I always look with goalkeepers. And when someone has a presence, the goal looks small. The goal looks smaller when you're in it, to me. Not necessarily because of you physically, because of your presence. How much importance do you have to place on presence? And almost maybe a little bit of a mental intimidating factor as a goalkeeper, because it is a rare and unique position.
It might be the bleached blonde hair I might have had. But, no, I totally agree. I think presence is huge. I just try and command the back four as best I can, and even the midfield three. I mean, I know in the heat I'm not running like they are, and I know they get really mentally tired very quickly, as everyone should in that heat. And so I'm hopefully trying to be the brain behind all of their movements and their decisions, and at least trying to lend a helping hand. And I don't know if it's a presence or it's just how I want to operate, but I always want them to know that I'm behind them and that they're safe with me back there. And I think that does come out as presence. And I think if they know I'm there, then I'm assuming the other team knows I'm there as well, which I think is in our favor. So I just try and communicate the best I can, and I try to help them as best I can so they don't have to think as much.
Houston Dash goalkeeper Jane Campbell joining us here. Dash off to a great start here under the new coach, James Clarkson. I always like asking players, describe your style as a goalkeeper and the way you see the game and play the game as a goalkeeper.
Oh, man, how would I describe my style? Simple. I like to just keep things simple. If a forward steps to one of my defenders, I will go and play another one. It's just easy for me to think that way. My coach at Stanford was always like that. He just always said, find the open player. And, you know, we laugh, and that sounds so simple. And obviously the game is very complex, but just simple things like that actually really help me just think about the game. Even Coach James, all he says is pass the ball, get it out wide, kick it across the goal, and then kick it in. And we all laugh too, but it's just that simple, even though it is a complex game. So I think just keeping things simple.
Yeah, do we sometimes overcomplicate the sport?
I'm sure we do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. You've also become a specialist saving penalties. Now, tell me a little bit about that. Is that reading the shooter? Is it looking at their hips? Is the ball all of a sudden looking like a beach ball to you? What's going on? You must, you know, it's like a secret recipe for a family. Yeah. You might have a secret here.
I think people need to stop saying that. I might get jinxed here one of these days, but I don't know. Penalties have always just been super fun for me. It's super intimidating, I'm sure, to the outside looking in. And the way I look at it is, you know, the advantage is completely in the field player's hands, and they're supposed to score, and I'm supposed to not save it. So in my mind, I'm like, well, I kind of have nothing to lose, and I kind of just go 300% with whatever direction I go. And luckily, I don't know what I should do. Maybe I should go buy a lottery ticket, but I've gone the right way every time, and just knock on wood, I keep doing that. Hopefully we don't have any more penalty kicks this year, but if it comes up, I will hopefully do my best to keep it out.
Talk about your center backs that you are very connected to, not only mentally, but emotionally throughout right. a game.
Yeah, Amber Brooks and Claire Polkingham, I think that's how you pronounce her name, Polks as we call her. Sorry, Claire. They're great. I mean, both two veterans. Amber's been here, I think, 4 years now, maybe five. Polks, this is her second year, I think, maybe third. But they're amazing. I mean, they do the dirtiest work on the field out of anybody, and they're just two grinders of two players. And, you know, Amber broke her nose a couple games ago, and then Claire went up and got a busted lip, and then it was just no problem for either of them. And all of us are like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they're still playing. But I'm super thankful for them. They have saved my back more times than I've probably saved theirs, and I'm just super happy I get to play behind them because I've learned so much from them, and I wouldn't want to change that.
Jane, where are some of the venues you like going to on the road when it comes to playing in the NWSL?
I love Orlando Stadium. The wall that they have of those fans, it just is so loud. And it's just a super intimate stadium. Love the colors and love what they did with it. Have to say Portland, their environment with the attendance is just top notch, and that should be the standard all over the world. And I love to see that women's soccer is growing, which is awesome attendance-wise. And I thought when we went to Utah actually a few weeks ago, it was a perfect day for soccer. And it was just sun was shining and not a cloud in the sky, and their stadium looked really pretty. So
you got that Wasatch Mountains behind it. That is exactly. One gorgeous place. So have you been keeping track? We're talking to Jane Campbell of the Houston Dash. You get over to HoustonDynamo.com, click on Dash. You can get all the information about them in the NWSL upcoming games. And by the way, throughout the year on this show, we give away tickets to the Dash. So don't forget that. If you look at some of the leagues around the world, there's been some amazing attendances. In Mexico, 30,000 plus for Tigres and Rayados. Italy's had some massive crowds. Spain has had some massive crowds. Are you keeping an eye on that stuff?
I just see it through Twitter, to be honest. I don't go searching for it by any means, but obviously the stuff on Twitter and Instagram, it all is a headliner. So I think it's cool when women's games are selling out, and it's just awesome. I think it's so motivating and exciting that our sport is growing all over the world, not just in the U.S. And I think the goal and the standard should be having stadiums sell out.
So You got to help me here because I think your first cap for the U.S. was against Russia here in Houston. Is that correct?
It was.
Okay, correct. That was a game that I called with Julie Foudy, and I remember that was your debut. So you didn't get picked for the final squad. This happens. My gut is you are going to be there. You are going to be there. You are going to be there. How motivating is this now for you? Because I know how badly you want to be there. I know how talented of a goalkeeper you are. This is the kind of thing that happens in a career that can be a platform to greater success.
Right, yeah. I think, you know, the day Jill called me, I think we both knew that I wasn't going to make the roster at that point. And I wished them good luck, and I will be their biggest fan this summer. And I hope they bring it home. That would be amazing. And, you know, after the phone call, I called my sports psychologist, and I called one of my coaches back home in Georgia, and I was like, you know, I didn't make it, and both of them were just like, it's okay. I mean, we'll keep pushing, and now it gives me more time to kind of go behind the scenes and continue to work on my game and my weaknesses and my strengths, and hopefully the next time they see me, I'll be bigger and better than last time they saw me. So it's super motivating. I obviously wish I was there, and I wish them all the best. I hope they do amazing. But now my foundation here in Houston, I am so happy to be here, and you know, it's bittersweet, right? I didn't make the roster, but now I get to spend the whole summer with my teammates here. So I'm very happy. The city loves me, and I love the city equally, and they treat me really well. So I couldn't ask for a better foundation to play my sport. So
you're the fans, you're one of the fan favorites. I can tell you that. I know you don't believe me when I say that, but you're one of the fan favorites. And I do believe you're going to have that place in that national team.
Thank you.
That you covet down the road. And, you know, look, as young player, I always tell young players, I just spoke to a bunch of kids at an elementary school. And listen, disappointment's a part of life, and right. It's how you respond to it, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I know this isn't your first disappointment,
right.
Getting to the level you've gotten to. I mean, this is amazing. You're a professional soccer player. You're one of few.
Right.
So
it's amazing. Yeah, I'll definitely take it and keep it in my back pocket my whole career, and I'll remember that moment forever.
All right, Jane, anything you want to say to the Dash fans out there?
Go Dash, and hopefully see you guys all at the game.
Yeah, Houston, get over. Is it HoustonDash.com, Paloma? Yeah, HoustonDash.com. That's where you get your tickets. And each and every week you can listen here and you'll get them from me. Jane, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It's very much appreciated. By the way, you've been on Facebook tonight.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for having me.
Jane Campbell, Houston Dash goalkeeper. We appreciate her. HoustonDash.com for your tickets. Get out and see her play. Amazing goalkeeper, one of the tops in the NWSL. Also has been capped internationally by the U.S. We're going to take a break. Daspit Law Firm, we thank you for being our presenting sponsor. Advantage BMW, get down there. Advantage BMW Midtown, that's the place I've leased and owned. Great customer service. It's second to none. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down and say hello to Philip and Justin. But it is Advantage BMW Midtown. So if you're going to go to a location, like I said, Advantage BMW Midtown, we may have some good news on doing a show there live down the road as well. Also, before we hit break, again, Ticketmaster.com for Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, July 20th at Energy Stadium. Let's take a Advantage BMW break.
ESPN 97.5.